truly God is faithful, considering the past several years of my life, the life of my wife and our family. God has shown his faithfulness day in and day out, and we continually give him thanks and honor and praise for that. I'm sure you could join me in that. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians? The last chapter of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. We're going to look at three verses in chapter 5 there today. Now, for the month of January, the students on Wednesday night were studying worship. The first week, 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night, we looked at who do we worship? Talked about God. How do we even know God is there that we worship, that we claim to worship? And then last week, we looked at worship as a priority in our lives. So this morning, you kind of get the summary of both those together in one. Youth, this will just help to kind of reinforce what we've learned over the past several weeks. But I want us to look at this morning what it is to make worship a priority in our lives. Now, as you're turning there, you probably already found 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 16, 17, and 18. Every week, my wife and I try to have a family night with our girls. We try to have one night dedicated to them. We just spend time with them, watching a movie, eating popcorn, doing whatever. Just time with them that's dedicated to them. This past Friday night was that night, so I loaded up the three girls and went down to the popcorn shop down here in Gun Barrel. So we're in the car, we're on our way down there, and Hallie, our seven-year-old, says to me, "Dad, you're a G-dad. But if you work at it, you could be an A dad." I took the bait. I said, "Okay, Hallie, what is a G dad?" She said, "Right now you're a good dad." She said, "But you could be an awesome dad if you wanted to be." So once again, I took the bait. I said, "How do I become an awesome dad?" She said, she had a list. go figure, a seven-year-old. She had this figured out. She said, "Well, every morning you get us up for school. You take us by the donut shop, and you get us donuts." I was with her on that. I said, "I could do that." And then she said, "Every afternoon, you pick us up, and you go by Sonic, and you get us a Sonic drink on the way home." She said, "Then you'll be an awesome dad." I said, "Hallie, I appreciate your vision and your hope for me being an awesome dad, but if I was an awesome dad, I would also be a poor dad. I don't think I could handle all that." We went on down to the popcorn store down here, and if you've ever been there, they got candy everywhere. I don't recommend taking your kids in there because you will be broke when you leave, but they picked out a sucker. They had their sucker on the way home. They're chewing on that thing, and I had forgotten about our conversation on the way, and Hallie takes it out. She said, "Dad," I said, "Yeah, you're one step closer to being an A dad." I said, "All right." Had that figured out. But you know, as I was considering worship and as a priority, Hallie looks at me as a G dad, a good dad. But what an awesome father it is that we worship. Faithful father that we worship. Faithful to us in every way, in every aspect. Whenever we approach and ask of him, he's giving. When we don't ask, he provides. He's always faithful to us. So what I want to do today is challenge us to make worship a priority in our lives. There's a movie that came out several years ago, Saving Private Ryan. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but pretty graphic opening to that movie where they're storming the beaches of Normandy. Well, Captain Miller, their leader, they're under fire, they're trapped there, and he's losing his men, he doesn't know what to do. Captain Miller, played by Tom Hanks, he says, "It's time we get out of here." He saw that the protection of his men was important, first of all, and then secondly, he said, "We make it a priority to save our men and get out of here." He came up with a plan, he got his men safely out of there as a priority, number one. So we're going to look at worshiping as the main thing today, worshiping God in every aspect, area of our life. Let's read these three verses here in 1 Thessalonians. Verse 16, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You ever said, what's the will of God? I don't know God's will. How do I find God's will? You find it written all over Scripture. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So as we look at this morning, I want us to, first of all, just narrow down, who is Paul talking to in this passage? Well, he's talking to the church in Thessalonica. He's talking to a group of believers. He's not telling Joe on the street to give thanks always, rejoice always, or pray without ceasing. He's speaking to a specific group of people. Now, Paul would have written this letter, and he would have written it so he put everything in there he wanted to say to that group of people at this time. The letter would have been received by them, and they would have read it to their congregation, their group of people, group of believers there. So in this final section here, this we call the chapter, final chapter, verses 12 through 28, Paul is telling them the final things. It's like, don't forget these things. Remember these things always as a church, as a group of believers. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks. I want to show you first kind of what is a church. What is this group of people that he's writing to? If you would turn over to 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 5. We'll just look at a few verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I want to show you that Paul's writing to this group of believers, telling them to do these things that sound impossible upon first reading, first look. But if you see this and understand who these people are and what's been done in their lives, if you see how we are represented here, then we'll understand how we're able to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything. Let's read in verse 16 of chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He clarifies here, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Verse 18 and 19. God, in Christ, reconciled us, sinful man, to himself. And now he has given us that ministry. It says ambassadors. We've been made ambassadors of this message, this hope of reconciliation to him. Paul's writing to this group of believers in 1 Thessalonians who have been reconciled to God, who have been made right to God. The relationship has been renewed and restored. And for that, he says, rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all things. Now, if you'll flip back over to 1 Thessalonians. So we've got this group of Christians meeting together, worshiping together. Paul's encouraging them to do these things. It's his final words to them. So let's look at them and then see, as a group of Christians here today, how we can, seemingly impossible, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Let's look at the first one, verse 16. Rejoice always. I can think of many times in my life that I did not want to rejoice. Many times that I didn't feel like rejoicing or have the desire to rejoice. But as we just looked at in 2 Corinthians, we have been reconciled to God. We've been made right before him in his Son, Jesus Christ. When we had no hope, we're given hope. When we had no life, we were given life. When we had no future, we were given future. That's reason enough to rejoice. Now, as we consider God, in the youth the other night, I asked them a question. I gave them a little test. And I said, how many of you here worship God? Just raise your hand. So most all of them raised their hand. I said, yes, we worship God. And then I told them that the definition of worship is you give something its worth. In fact, the word was originally worth Skype. It was shortened to worth ship. And then as I was studying, it said because of lazy English, we dropped the TH and we now just say worship. But the essence of it is that you're giving something its worth by what you say, but as well as what you do, how you act, how you live your life day in and day out. So I said to them, okay, you all say with your hand, expressing with your mouth, you worship God. So based on the definition, you're giving something its worth by the time you give to it. If we were to examine your life, I asked them this question, examine your life, would it say that you worship God, or to say that you worship something else? And I went on to say, even that if we examine their life, and I ask you today, if someone were to examine your life, would you be found worshiping God, or would you be found worshiping something else? Is the worship of our Heavenly Father a priority in your life or not? I said that, sad as it is to say, many of us, if our life was examined, the conclusion might be that we are atheists or agnostic. Atheism, the A is a negator, it cancels out theism, so it says there is no God. So if someone were to examine many of our lives, they would say this person lives as if there is no God and as if they have no one to answer to. Their conclusion would be, based on what they saw, atheist. Agnostic means you don't know or you can't know God. Many of us would have that example if our life was to be examined. As I consider the greatness of God, you know, I wish I could wrap my mind around God, but every day get a deeper understanding of His infiniteness, if that's even a word. A being that has no beginning, has no end, has no top, has no bottom, has no front, no back. An infinite being. I couldn't think of enough words to describe that to you this morning. Paul takes a shot at it in Romans. Let's look at Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Consider the greatness of our God. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. This is the God that we worship. Unsearchable, unknowing. And yet He says, I love you. And yet He says, I came for you. And yet He says in 2 Corinthians, we read that, I've reconciled you to me through my Son, Jesus Christ. I'm reminded as I read this of the Matthew 18, the unforgiving servant, the parable there where Jesus tells His disciples, the king went out to collect a debt. And the first servant came up and he owed a debt so great he could not pay it back. So the king, the owner, began selling off. He sold his servant, he sold his family, began selling things to pay the debt. He could never have sold enough of the man's property to pay his debt. He could have never paid the debt off. The man leaves, the servant leaves, and he goes out and finds the next servant that owes him money. And it literally says he grabs him by the throat and begins choking him, telling him to give back what you owe me. The king comes, finds him, this servant. He said, you unforgiving servant. I forgave a debt that you could never pay back, and yet you go out trying to collect from this other servant of mine. And he casts him away, puts him in jail. What's the overarching theme of that story? You and I had a debt that we could never possibly pay, never, ever, No matter how hard we work, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, it could never be paid. And yet we see that we've been reconciled through Christ to God, the forgiveness of that debt. Why don't we bow and make that a priority to worship Him day in and day out? I think, first of all, we don't understand the magnitude of God. And secondly, we don't understand the magnitude of our sin. And thirdly, we don't understand the magnitude of the forgiveness that has been granted to you and I through His Son, Jesus Christ. Rejoice always. We all have reason to rejoice for those of us who have been reconciled to God in Christ. Pray without ceasing is the next thing that Paul tells them here. My wife and I were talking the other day about this. It might have been Friday evening when we were preparing dinner for our family night. But I said, how do you pray without ceasing? You can't have a conversation and pray while I'm speaking with my wife or while I'm working or other places. You might go to work. How are you to pray without ceasing? Is Paul telling us something here to do that's impossible? We came to the conclusion together that maybe we have a wrong view of prayer. Maybe our view is that we bow down before God and give Him our list of what we need. Maybe we view prayer as a one-way street. We're crying out, God, give us these things. So maybe prayer is more adequately summarized as a two-way street, with a big wide lane coming down and a narrow lane going up, where we are continually in obedience to Him. Yes, we pray to Him, we ask things of Him, but we listen to Him. We listen and obey and then act in our lives day in and day out. Prayer without ceasing more adequately summarizes obedience without ceasing. Be in a continual state of obedience to our Father, continually listening and obeying what He's asking us to do. I know many of you know who Corrie Ten Boom is. She was in a concentration camp in the Holocaust. She made it through that, and then she became a great witness and evangelist around the world for the Lord. Everywhere she would go and she would speak. If you get a chance, read her book, The Hiding Place. It's a wonderful book about her and her family, how they came through that time in their lives. But in that book and in other books that you'll find about her, many people will write that when she was asked to make decisions or when she was walking around, someone would ask someone her, she would sometimes be seen looking up, either nodding her head or shaking her head no. As if almost it appeared that she was directly communicating with the Father, being in perfect obedience, aligning herself with His will at that moment. An amazing testimony of how we're to live day in and day out. I encourage you to read that, but I also encourage you to obey like that. Continually obeying our Father and what He asks us to do. Pray without ceasing. Obey without ceasing. Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That was His prayer. The first things He said in His prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The way He prayed in obedience to the Father. Now, as we talk about prayer without ceasing, I want to share with you a story. I've been in seminary for 5 years now. They don't really have a 5-year plan, but I'm going with that. It's more of a 3-year plan. But 2 weeks ago, I took a class. It was a 1-week class all day long, and it was the best class that I've ever had. The whole thing was worth it to be in this class. It was taught by this man named Dr. Fernandez. He has a ministry that goes around the world, starting seminaries. They teach young men how to be pastors. And before they can graduate out of the seminary, they have to start a church somewhere. They don't graduate until they've got a church started and going. Pretty strong requirements there. But he comes in and he brought with him a man. He's a short little man. Someone told me everyone's short to you, but he's a short little guy. But his stature is small, but his faith is great and large and encouraging to me. He's from Cuba. He grew up in Cuba. He went to a seminary there in Cuba and graduated, got his degree, so he had to go fulfill the requirements of planting a church. Well, for some reason, he got sent into an existing church that had 18 members in it. All of them were over 65 years old. He had been told that he was going there to help kind of ease the church down. He was going to pastor over the flock as they passed on. That was what he was told he was going to do there with them. He said, and he doesn't speak English, he spoke through a translator, but he said to us in that class, he said, I didn't see that as my purpose. I didn't see that as what I was supposed to do. He said, I went there to grow God's church, to see his kingdom expanded. Here's the testimony he gave about that. Within 7 years, that church had 200 members. In 7 years' time, because of his faithfulness. They needed a church building. This is a little side note, but it's amazing. I wish I had a picture. They needed a church building. They didn't have the equipment or the money or the means to do it, so they found a block maker that made cinder blocks. They would go down to the river, get stone, bring it back, crush it up, and they'd form 12 cinder blocks in the morning. And then in the afternoon, they'd lay 12 cinder blocks. And they did this day in and day out for the 7 years there. Now, I thought cinder block building, I just thought it was going to be a nice little structure they could worship in. He got pictures out, and this is a three-story building with a huge bell tower, white, painted, beautiful, has marble floors that they did themselves. It's an amazing thing to see that he brought these people into doing that. And here's the fascinating thing about it. He said, the key to anything I do is praying and being in the will of my Father. He said, that's key. I wish you could hear this man speak. He has now been asked to leave Cuba. Out of that church came 61 other churches in Cuba. They estimate right now, as we sit here, every month there are 10,000 and as high as 15,000 people coming to Christ in that country. It's an amazing thing going on. Church is multiplying, coming out of there. And he said it's because we pray and because we're obedient. Fascinating concept. He got kicked out of the country. He's here in Dallas. And in the basement of Criswell College, he's planting another church. Starting another church to reach the Hispanic population in Dallas. Listen to this man's vision. He says there's 1.5 million people that have immigrated into our country. They're living there, and they have no faith family, no faith community. We're going to start churches for them. We're going to minister to them. He says, in 10 years, I want to reach 1%. Now, do the math on 1% of 1.5 million people. That's a lot of people. That's a huge vision. He says, I serve a huge God, great God, who wants to do great things for us. And I will say that in a few years, you'll be hearing about this man. Not because he wants you to, and it's his desire, but it's because he's faithful and obedient in prayer. Fascinating concept. Biblical concept. I could tell you so many more stories about him, but I don't have time. Maybe we get him to come sometime. I don't know. It's a great, great testimony of what he is working with and doing there. But he says the key, once again, is praying without ceasing, obeying without ceasing. Final story on that. Anytime he meets anyone there, he writes their name and their number down, takes that home with them, and he says, I consider them a part of my church from that point on. He says, I know they're not members and all that, but he says, I consider them members with me from that point on. He and his wife and his children kneel down every morning. He said, however long it takes, we pray over every name I have written down. He said, then I go and call them. Tell them I prayed for them and ask what I can do for them. Amazing, humbling for me to hear that. Amazing what he's doing. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And then finally, Paul says here, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is why I say that Paul isn't writing to just anyone out on the street. Someone who has not been reconciled to God, who does not understand the forgiveness that comes from God, cannot give thanks in all circumstances. Cannot understand that concept. But you and I, as we rejoice always, as we pray and obey without ceasing, and we find ourselves aligned perfectly with God's will, perfectly with God's will, we know that whatever circumstance arises, we're exactly in the center of God's will, and that is the reason that we can give thanks in all circumstances. We give thanks when we're aligned perfectly in the will of God. If you continue to read over 2 Corinthians chapter 5, study that verse for a week or a month, however long it takes for you to understand. It's so fascinating what's just in those few verses. The reconciliation, the forgiveness that he's given to us. That's enough right there for us to give thanks in all circumstances. I want to close with one other story. These stories aren't mine. I heard them. I'm just relating them to you because truly this is God's work, what's going on around the world right now. Manny, our professor at that class, he said, there's this lady named Norma down there in Cuba. She is planting 4 churches herself. He said, now don't get the wrong idea. She's not pastoring them. She's just starting these churches, 4 of them. She works all morning, and then she goes to another community far away and works with these churches, 4 different ones she's starting in homes there. He said in Cuba, they don't have cars, so they hitchhike everywhere they go. This lady was hitchhiking out to her churches one day after her job. She was dressed up with kind of a short dress on and a blouse, and she had to hitchhike. Well, the only thing that would pick her up was a dump truck. Huge dump truck. She crawls up, pulls herself over into the back of the dump bed, and she related to this missionary Manny. She said, as I fell over into that bed, I knew immediately that it was a mistake to get in there. She said, inside the bed of that truck were construction workers just sitting around for their ride. She said, this is trouble for me. She knew immediately. She said, as quickly as she thought that, the men started grabbing hold of her as if they were going to harm her in some way, do other things to her. She said she didn't know what to do other than stand up in the middle of all these men in the bed of a dump truck and start telling them about Jesus. So she started preaching Jesus to them. You guys have sinned. Stay away from me. You need Jesus Christ. She preached all these things to them. They stopped the truck and tossed her out. He got her out of there. And they didn't want to hear any of that. They didn't want to have any part of that. This story about what she's doing and what happened on that day made it back to the president of a company, a large global company. He heard about it. He's a believer through this Manny that taught this class. He said, I want to go down there and meet this woman. I want to go see what's going on in that country. I want to see it firsthand. So I guess as company presidents can do, he got his Learjet and they flew down there. They flew down to Cuba, set up an appointment with this Norma lady. Now, when this president was going in, the CEO, he said to Manny, he said, I'm going to give her a new car because she needs to be able to get around to her churches. He said, I don't want you to tell her that. He said, I don't want you to tell her anything. I'm going to ask her simply what she needs, and then I'm going to let her tell me. You don't say a word. He said, fine, I'll do that. So they go in there. Norma relates the story to what happened on that day with the dump truck, how that took place, how her churches have started to grow, how she's finding leaders for those churches, just relating these stories to him. So finally, it comes to the conclusion. And he says, the CEO, he says, Norma, I'd like to get something for you. What is it that you need? What is it that you need to help your ministry grow here? She was puzzled. She had never had anyone ask her this before. She's looking around. She looked to Manny, the missionary, to try to get, tell me something. She did not know. She bowed her head, thought for a moment, and then raised it and said, sir, I could use a flashlight. You see, she would go to her churches in the daytime when all the traffic was going. It would become nighttime before she could come home. She had to walk home in the dark. She had to walk home in the dark. Manny asked us, do you guys have flashlights? What are you doing with your flashlight? How are you taking the gospel out into the world with your flashlight? Very humbling to hear that story, but he said, I'll give you a flashlight. The CEO did. He said, in fact, I'll give you two, and they're attached to the front of a car. Give thanks in all circumstances. If she would have had a flashlight, that would have made her day because she wouldn't have had to worry about things in her way going home. She had a car. Think she wasn't giving thanks in that circumstance? Oh boy, she was glorifying God for what had happened to her because of her faithfulness. I challenge you today to give thanks in all circumstances. Maybe you're saying, I can't. I've been through something so terrible. Life is so hard. Life is so difficult. Re-examine. Read over 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Read the story of the unforgiving servant, the parable there. We've been forgiven, wiped clean, white as snow. I want to keep saying those things over and over again so we grab hold of that concept of the size, the power, the infiniteness, I think I made up a word again, of our God. So today, as we close out, I want to give you the opportunity. Maybe you have never been reconciled to God. What does that mean to be reconciled to God? As that says, in Christ. In just a few moments, we'll have a time of invitation, and I'll just invite you. If you've never been reconciled to God, you can do that by first repenting. You turn from the direction you're going, the sin that you're involved in, and you put your faith in Christ and you head the opposite direction towards Him from this day forward. It's the start of reconciliation, asking forgiveness, repentance, turning, and then turning towards Him. The others here that have been reconciled, you know Christ, you're saved without a doubt. I challenge you to make worship a priority in your life. With the youth this past week, we started small. I said, there's so many things in our life that take up time. And I'm not asking you to go throw everything out. I'm asking you just to give a start. Make a start. Find a quiet place in your home. It has to be your closet, your garage, wherever. Take 10 minutes this week. That was my challenge to them. Take 10 minutes this week. That's a very small amount of time. Study your Bible. Pray, listen, obey what God is asking you to do. So I challenge you in that this morning. Challenge you that in that this week. If worship hasn't been a priority, take 10 minutes this week. Add 10 minutes the next week. Before long, worship will be a priority in your life, what you're doing day in and day out. What a great forgiveness, what a great salvation, what a great reconciliation we have received from God the Father. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. So as we close, I'd like to offer a time of invitation. There's some decision you need to make. If worship hasn't been a priority in your life, the altar is open. You can come down, kneel down, get that right with Him before you leave this morning. If you don't know Christ, we offer that time. You can come down. If you've never been reconciled to Him, come and I'll be standing here. You can take me by the hand. And just share with me your heart. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you join in fellowship here as well. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are and what You've done for us, that You sought us out through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We worship You for that. We praise You for that. We thank You for that. Pray that You would be honored during this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.